Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A historic nomination, Judge Brett Kavanaugh nominated to fill the seat of Anthony Kennedy. This could be a historical game changer of the U.S. Supreme Court and on specific law and policy. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. There's no question that Judge Brett Kavanaugh is highly qualified. He attended Yale College. 1987, he graduated Yale Law School. In 1990, he was a law clerk for a judge on the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit and also for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. He then followed a one-year fellowship at the office of the U.S. Solicitor General Kenneth Starr with a clerkship for Justice Anthony Kennedy. And Matt, this is interesting. He went to the same preparatory school for high school that Justice Gorsuch went to. Can you imagine that high school having two Supreme Court justices as their alumni?
That's
he also
amazing.
Was clerking for Justice Kennedy, I believe, at the same time that Gorsuch was clerking for Kennedy as well. And he now will be someone, when this nomination process is complete, who will be seated on the Supreme Court bench.
And he's got another connection to someone on the court, and I know some conservatives find this troubling, but I think that this actually kind of disarms those who are in opposition and are the senators who are going to be trying to obstruct this confirmation. He was hired as a law professor at Harvard Law by none other than Justice Elena Kagan.
When I became
that'll shake the liberals' trees.
The dean of Liberty University School of Law, I went to the new dean's seminar for new deans, and the person seated at my table was then Dean Elena Kagan, who was dean of Harvard Law School before she was tapped by President Obama to become the Solicitor General and then later the Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. So Harvard Law School, when he says she hired him, yes, that's true. However, as you know, Matt, having served on a faculty, it's a faculty vote decision, and the faculty votes. In this particular case, he has incredible academic and legal credentials that would be very valuable as a law professor.
But don't forget, from a personal perspective, he's got a very good background and a very good work ethic. I mean, his dad worked full-time while going to law school. His mother was a teacher, and then she became an attorney. So can you imagine their mealtime conversations?
Yeah, having your mom and dad both judges, and they became judges later in life.
Right.
These were second career decisions that they ultimately made. And he's very involved with his family. He had his two young girls there.
Right.
And you saw how they interacted, which was really interesting. He said that the younger one liked to
read.
Play in sports and read. And the older one, and then the younger one liked to have sports, and she liked to talk. And she smiled, and he
that was cute.
Reached out his hand to give like a little high five to her.
And he's involved in the community, volunteering, and I mean, from a personal
He's called Coach K.
Yeah.
Because he teaches the girls sports team at the Catholic school where they attend.
Yeah, so his speech gave us a human perspective of him.
It did. It really gave that human perspective. You know, his wife was a former secretary for President George W. Bush.
They That's how they met, isn't it?
Yeah, when she was the personal secretary of the president, and he was working at the time in the administration in the Washington, D.C. Maybe at the time he might have been in a with a law firm, but he was in the government building when 9/11 happened, and they both had to rush out together. They eventually, after that, got married, and they now have the two children. So he's someone who has been part of the Kenneth Starr Office of Independent Counsel investigating President Bill Clinton and the death of Vince Foster. You remember that?
Yeah.
He also helped write the 1998 Starr report on to Congress, which outlined 11 grounds for Clinton's impeachment. And this is the reason why when he was nominated the first time in 2003, that the Democrats filibustered him. Remember, he had a filibuster rule back then, and so they didn't have 60 votes to get over the filibuster, so they filibustered him for 3 years. They didn't want him on the bench. Finally, the filibuster was broken, and in May of 2006, by a vote of 57 to 36, he was confirmed to the D.C. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C.
And by a 21-point margin.
By a 21-point margin. And then, if you remember, some of the people that came from the D.C. Court of Appeals, Justice Clarence Thomas, Chief Justice John Roberts, and a number of others have come from the D.C. Court of Appeals.
Yeah, we need to be clear here, though, that anybody who is opposing his appointment to the United States Supreme Court, these senators that are kind of up in arms, they have no legitimate reason to oppose him. And the only reason they are opposing him is political. They have politicized this. It's all about Roe v. Wade and Obamacare and these things. So it's a shame to watch how politicized this process has become. And no matter who President Trump picked as his nominee, they already had their press releases written. In fact, one of the press releases went out from a feminist group where they forgot to remove, they had like X's in place for where the name was going to go.
They
forgot to print his name.
Press release. Oops, anybody.
They sent out the press release forgetting to put in.
Just fill in the blank. It doesn't
just
matter.
Fill in the blank. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's so political. It's
well, you
shame.
Know, everyone, certainly in our view, we're looking for someone. All these credentials are fine. And from a legal standpoint, a qualification standpoint, there's no question. There's no debate that he's qualified. No question about that. But what we really want to know is what's his judicial philosophy?
Mm-hmm.
How does he approach the Constitution? You can have all these credentials and be an activist. We don't want that. We want someone who's going to have a judicial restraint philosophy. And on that question, Matt, there's an article that of his speech. It's, 30-some pages with footnotes and everything that he gave last year, 2017, for Constitution Day. And in that speech, pages 15 and 16, he's talking about Justice Rehnquist and his impact on the U.S. Supreme Court. And he talks about the abortion cases, interestingly.
Yeah.
And he says, Rehnquist, he's referring to Rehnquist, he says, Rehnquist's dissenting opinion did not suggest that the Constitution protected no rights other than those enumerated in the text of the Bill of Rights, but he stated that under the court's precedent, any such unenumerated right had to be rooted in the traditions and conscience of our people.
Right.
Given the precedent, the prevalence of abortion regulations, both historically and at the time, Rehnquist said, he could not reach such a conclusion about abortion. He explained that a law prohibiting an abortion, even where the mother's life was in jeopardy, would violate the Constitution. He said that, but otherwise, he stated, the states had the power to legislate with regard to this matter. He also basically said that Rehnquist was instrumental in stopping the freewheeling social power of the court, the judicial power of the court. In other words, Rehnquist really wanted to look at whether or not, one, there's an enumerated right, something specifically a mention, like free speech. It's clear that's an enumerated right. The right to free speech, religious free exercise, so forth. Those are enumerated rights. But the other question that the court looked at is there other rights that are not specifically stated but are protected? And the only way to prevent the court from becoming a social policy institution is to limit those to some very, very, very narrow area, since they're not enumerated. And you have to show that those are deeply rooted in American conscience and history and our traditions. Abortion is not. Assisted suicide is not. And so he ultimately argued that Rehnquist was right in rejecting this freewheeling social policy engine of the abortion machine from the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
It is. It is. And so we'll talk about that more as we unpack this nominee and work through this process. We'll also talk about how this process will move forward and the procedures that will need to take place and the timeline as well. You can follow this process and be involved in prayer and also contacting your senators by going to lc.org, lc.org. Right there on the front page, you can sign up for our Liberty Alert. That'll keep you involved in information. Also, the grassroots action email. That is where we're going to communicate with you about how you can make your voice known to your senators. It's going to be very important that every vote will be counted, because it's going to be a slim margin, and you can make the difference in this historic moment in America. Pray for Liberty Counsel. Remember us in your prayers and your financial support.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.